Welcome to AI Unraveled, your daily briefing on the real-world business impact of AI. I'm your host, and today's edition, November 13th, is defined by the escalating infrastructure war and the emerging privacy arms race. But before we dive into the massive headlines, like Anthropic committing $50 billion to the data center war, we have a quick question for our C-suite listeners. Do you want this level of zero-noise intelligence, but built exclusively for your business? Stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. You've seen the power of AI Unraveled. Zero noise, high signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now, leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored, proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen strategic intelligence directly to the C-suite. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now. The link is in the show notes. All right, let's get into the news. We're opening with Anthropic's $50 billion data center mega plan, detailing exactly what this commitment means for the price of compute. Then we pivot to the critical topic of trust. As Google unveils private AI compute, directly challenging Apple's data sovereignty model. Plus, don't miss the financial skepticism as a Big Short investor levels explosive claims about AI hyperscalers. Stay with us. Your daily signal on AI starts now.
Welcome to the Dup Dive. We are really zeroing in today on the absolute cutting edge of AI, focusing on just one crucial day, November 13th, 2025. This wasn't just another day of headlines. It felt like a real pivot point. Huge financial risks, legal fights heating up, and some frankly astonishing new tech hitting the world stage.
Exactly. Our goal here is to cut through all that noise and give you the high signal intelligence. We want to track where the serious money is actually flowing and who's asking the tough ethical questions, what physical limits are they hitting, and maybe most importantly, what new capabilities actually emerged, things you might use.
Right. And looking at our sources for that day, it paints a picture of this almost frantic three-way battle. First, you've got the infrastructure arms race. We're talking tens of billions of dollars, just staggering numbers.
Then there's the pushback. The scrutiny over the real costs, both physical, like water, and financial, like, are the profits even calculated correctly?
And third, just the sheer speed of expansion in what AI can do. From, you know, language tutoring to driving cars on freeways. Okay, let's unpack this. And I think we have to start with that dizzying flow of money.
Yeah. That day gave us two incredible, almost opposing signals about where the big players think the long-term value really lies. Is it in building the pipes, the cloud infrastructure, or is it in controlling the AI models themselves?
Let's tackle infrastructure first then. Anthropic, a major OpenAI competitor, right?
Yeah.
They announced this colossal $50 billion commitment. They're partnering up with a company called FluidStack, building dedicated custom data centers, Texas and New York, supposed to be online in 2026.
Right, and what's fascinating there is, and you hear $50 billion and it sounds world-changing, absolutely massive, but the sources pointed out it's still significantly smaller than what some competitors are doing, like that Stargate partnership.
So $50 billion is just the entrance fee now to even play in that league.
It really seems that way. It shows the scale we're operating at.
Okay, speaking of massive bets, maybe even existential ones, SoftBank. Masayoshi Son, he sold SoftBank Group's entire stake in NVIDIA, $5.8 billion worth. NVIDIA, the chip king.
Yeah, pulled it all out.
And plowed it, plus more, all in on OpenAI. He's planning a $33.2 billion investment. And he actually declared he thinks OpenAI will eventually be the most valuable company in the world. Period.
I mean, this is classic Masayoshi Son, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huge, concentrated bets, binary risk. You win big or you lose big. And you have to remember the context. He sold NVIDIA back in 2019, right? Missed out on, what, over $150 billion in growth?
Ouch.
Yeah. But he also had the massive Alibaba win.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, the WeWork disaster. So selling the hardware stake to fund the model builder, that's a very aggressive, definitive statement about where he sees the future.
But it sounds like putting all your eggs in one basket based on, what, institutional trust. If OpenAI hits a major snack, a big security breach, a regulatory smackdown, doesn't that $33 billion just vanish?
Oh, absolutely. It really highlights the volatility.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting the model creators versus the chip makers. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely a high-risk, high-reward gamble on who achieves long-term AI dominance.
So we're seeing these absolutely astronomical sums of money moving around. But the question that popped up immediately that same day was, hang on, is the growth these hyperscalers are reporting actually real?
Mm-hmm.
Because then we got the thunderclap from Michael Burry, you know, the investor from The Big Short.
Right. Burry came out alleging that some of these AI hyperscalers might be artificially boosting their earnings.
Mm-hmm.
He's essentially claiming a kind of accounting fraud.
Yeah.
The mechanism he described is a bit complex, but it's really key. It's about depreciation.
Okay.
When companies buy tons of servers, those NVIDIA chips, that's capital expenditure, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to account for how quickly that gear loses value over time.
Mm.
That's depreciation expense.
And Burry's saying they're not doing that correctly.
He's claiming they're extending the useful life of this equipment on their books. So NVIDIA might release new, much faster chips every, say, 2 or 3 years, making the old stuff less valuable, technologically obsolete even. But these companies, allegedly, are depreciating that old equipment over maybe 5-7 years on paper.
Wait, so if the tech cycle is 2 years, but the accounting cycle is 7, that feels like a mismatch. Or maybe misrepresentation. Why would big names like Oracle or Meta risk that?
That is the multi-billion dollar question, isn't it? By stretching out that useful life, they lower their annual depreciation cost on paper. Lower costs mean higher reported profits. Burry put a number on it. He estimated this could understate depreciation across the sector by something like $176 billion through 2028.
$176 billion.
Yeah. And that could overstate profits at companies like Oracle and Meta by potentially over 20%. It casts this shadow of doubt, you know. Is the financial excitement actually matching the physical reality of how fast this hardware turns over?
That jump from the financial spreadsheets to the physical world, that's exactly where we need to go next. All these servers depreciating or not depreciating. Where are they actually being built?
Well, the materials we looked at for that day show this huge simultaneous global push. It's not just one or two projects. Seems like the U.S. power grid is getting strained. Land is getting super expensive in the usual spots. So there's this worldwide scramble for locations.
And it's industry-wide, right? Not just one player. Microsoft, $10 billion in signs. Portugal, Google, $6.4 billion in Germany. Two centers near Frankfurt, I think.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Project Concord. This one sounds almost sci-fi. $35 billion AI data center in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And the note said it's entirely designed, built, and run by AI algorithms.
Wow, okay.
Even smaller nations are getting in. Cerebras is helping Guyana build its first major data center, about 100 megawatts.
So why the big move offshore?
Well, experts like John Boyd Jr. pointed to exactly those issues. Space constraints, grid stress in the U.S. It leads to what they call NIMBY pressures. Not in my backyard, especially in hubs like Northern Virginia. And Trevor Morgan added another angle, localization. It cuts down latency crucial for fast AI response times. Plus, it helps navigate all the tricky data sovereignty laws and regulations in different regions. It's strategic growth.
So it's partly technical necessity, partly getting around local resistance at home.
Seems like it. But that local resistance isn't just going away, it's popping up elsewhere, especially around resources.
Yeah, the resource conflict. Water, specifically, seems to be hitting hard in Latin America. Mm-hmm. Chile, Brazil, Uruguay.
This is really the sharp end of the whole infrastructure boom. Governments there offering these huge tax incentives, right, to attract these facilities, but often they're putting them in areas already facing historic droughts. And the materials highlighted a really stark example in Uruguay, near a Google site.
What happened there?
Well, local residents asked, reasonably enough, how much water this massive facility was going to use, and officials initially refused to tell them, citing corporate secrecy.
They wouldn't say how much water it would use, and the community had to sue the state just to get that basic information.
That's right. They took a legal action, and they actually won, using something called the Escazú Agreement. It guarantees environmental information access. They forced the disclosure. And if you connect this to the bigger picture, well, it's pretty sobering. AI's potential might seem infinite, but water definitely isn't. It makes you think maybe the next big bottleneck for compute won't be silicon production. Maybe it'll be human thirst and the political battles over sacrificing local water for global AI.
Okay, so the money's shifting, the physical map is changing. What about the talent, the ideas, the intellectual property that actually powers all this? We definitely need to talk about Jan LeCun.
Yeah, the departure of Jan LeCun, I mean, it's a giant. Longtime chief AI scientist at Meta, Turing Award winner. That's a huge shift in the talent landscape. He's reportedly leaving Meta, where he'd led their AI research lab, AR, since 2013, to launch his own startup.
And his focus is the really interesting part, isn't it? He's apparently moving away from the text-based systems that dominate now, you know, the LLMs, and focusing instead on world models, models that learn from video and spatial data. It feels like these AI pioneers keep doing this jumping ship to reinvent things, like a rock star leaving the band for a solo career to change the sound.
Huh. Yeah, it's a bit like that. And that new direction, it kind of underlines the reports of internal tensions during Meta's recent AI shakeup. He clearly wants to define what's next in AI learning.
So while one legend is leaving to build the next thing, others were busy commercializing the current thing that same day. 11 Labs launched their iconic voice marketplace.
Right, this marketplace is a really fascinating approach to IP commercialization. They're licensing AI replicas of celebrity voices, but crucially, through agreements with the rights holders. It offers a potential path forward, a legal, ethical one, which is so needed given all the chaos around unauthorized deepfakes.
And the range is interesting, too. They've got living actors like Michael Caine, Liza Minnelli, but also whites for deceased figures, Maya Angelou, Babe Ruth, even Alan Turing, recreated from old recording.
Mm-hmm. And Matthew McConaughey, who's apparently an investor, is already using it, voicing his newsletter in Spanish using the AI voice tech.
But this controlled commercialization ran straight into a legal wall that day too, didn't it? OpenAI lost a big copyright case in Munich.
That's right, a significant ruling in Germany. The court found ChatGPT had violated German copyright laws, specifically by reproducing lyrics from popular German songs. The case involved GEMA, the German Performance Rights Group, and mentioned songs like Herbert Grönemeyer's Männer.
And OpenAI's position is?
They dispute it, naturally. They argue the output comes from patterns learned across massive data sets, not by copying specific songs wholesale. But the ruling is still a big deal. It shows the legal systems are catching up fast. And it really reinforces Europe's strong stance on protecting intellectual property. It forces these AI companies to think much harder about their training data and how they filter outputs.
Okay, this is where it gets, for me anyway, really interesting. Let's look at the functional milestones hit that day, where the tech actually met the real world and changed what's possible.
Absolutely. Waymo, they became the first robotaxi company to actually offer fully driverless rides on freeways across San Francisco, Phoenix, and LA. That's a huge step psychologically and technically.
And the practical impact for riders is huge, right? Cutting ride times, potentially by up to 50% in some cases. It created this unified service area, 260 miles, all the way down to San Jose.
Yeah, massive operational area.
We read that mastering freeways was incredibly tough. It needed tons of closed course testing and simulation, mainly because, counterintuitively, critical safety events happen less often at high speed, so proving safety takes much longer.
And sticking with breadth of capability, Meta dropped an open source speech recognition model they called Omnilingual. This thing basically redefined language accessibility on a global scale.
Wait, 1,600 languages. That's not just an incremental improvement. That completely changes the game for smaller language groups, low resource communities, mm-hmm. letting them participate in the global AI conversation.
Exactly. The source material specifically noted it includes 500 languages described as low resource, ones that had never been transcribed by AI before. It just blows OpenAI's Whisper model, which handles about 99 languages, out of the water in terms of sheer coverage.
That's incredible breadth. And it seems paired with a push for user trust, too. Google unveiled something called Private AI Compute.
Mm-hmm. Similar in concept to Apple's Private Cloud Compute. It's a cloud platform designed for those really complex AI tasks that your device can't handle locally. But the key promise is privacy. It ensures your sensitive data, needed for the task, is processed securely and is only available to you, the user. Not even Google can access it. It directly tackles that fear people have about sending personal data off their device.
Okay. And way out on the bleeding edge, IBM is still pushing towards useful quantum computing. Their goal is 2029.
Right. And they unveiled a new experimenter chip, codenamed Loon. What's novel here is that it physically builds a proposed error correction algorithm directly into the hardware, trying to tackle that fundamental instability problem in quantum systems head on.
So much happening. And then for something immediately practical for you listening, guides started circulating that day about a new mode in ChatGPT.
Yeah, the study and learn mode. It basically turns the chatbot into a specialized tutor.
Right.
Instead of just giving you the answer, it guides you. Breaks problems down step by step,
yeah.
Checks your reasoning as you go, adapts to your level. It's a fundamentally different way of interacting with it, much more Socratic.
So looking back at just this one day, November 13th, 2025, it really encapsulates the core tension in AI right now, doesn't it?
It really does. On one side, you have this immense financial volatility, almost creative destruction. Sun betting the farm, Burry yelling fraud, a giant like LeCun leaving to start over. Just huge churn.
But right alongside that financial drama, you have this undeniable, profound technological leap forward. Waymo actually driving on freeways, Meta suddenly understanding 1600 languages, private compute trying to build trust.
Yeah, the progress is tangible.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? It seems AI is simultaneously becoming much more global, these data centers spreading everywhere, Korea, Portugal, Guyana, and at the same time, it's getting intensely personalized. Private compute on your phone, tutoring modes that adapt just for you.
And maybe the biggest takeaway is seeing the infrastructure arms race shift its focus. It's moving beyond just who has the most NVIDIA chips. Two or two who can secure the most essential physical resources, the power, the land, and critically, the water. When you consider those lawsuits, the community resistance in places like Latin America, it leaves you with a pretty provocative thought to mull over, doesn't it? Will the future pace of AI development ultimately be set not by how fast silicon chips can be made, but by how much fresh water local communities are willing or forced to sacrifice?
And that brings us to the end of the November 13th edition of AI Unraveled. We've covered everything from Anthropic's $50 billion commitment to Google's latest strategic move in the private AI compute space. Stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. You've seen the power of AI Unraveled. Zero noise, high signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now, leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored, proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen, strategic intelligence directly to the C-suite. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now. The link is in the show notes. If you found today's rundown valuable, please take a moment to like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your audio. Your support helps us deliver this zero-noise analysis straight to your feed. I'm your host, and we'll be back tomorrow with more AI Unraveled.